Welcome to Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. This is our very special Christmas Day 2019 edition. Merry Christmas, Brandon Shea.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Tom.
And Merry Christmas to you overseas in the land of Christmas pudding, Chris Haig.
I don't know what to say apart from just like happy holidays, but yay.
Yes.
Yay. And I hope everyone's having a great holiday season. This is all, you know, what do they call it? The most favorite time of the year. Yes. And we're very happy to do a quick sort of a bonus episode for you under the tree this morning. And to start things off, we've had a really, really good year in 2019. Like we've done, this will be, today we're doing episode 38, right? Like yep. That's a lot of shows. Yep. And we've had a very busy year. If I could say quickly, I think we'll go around the table on this, but my highlight of this year, I think, really was the Psycho Listen Live commentary we did. Mm. And that was unique. Like we've never done that before in the sense that we listened to the film. We had the audio track of the film, and we talked through the entire film, mm-hmm. which is usually a no-no. But I learned so much from you guys, and we had Pat McFadden on that show, and we had a really good time. I think we got a lot of feedback, a lot of listeners downloading and enjoying that. And for me, that was my highlight of the year. Brandon, do you have a highlight of the year?
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. And I got to say, before I give you my highlight, we got to do that again next year. We got to do a movie. Yes. Maybe we could have a poll and we could let the listeners choose which movie they'd like us to do next summer or something like that. I think that might be fun. Let the listeners choose. Just as long as they don't choose Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
We get it.
So... I got to say that I think for me, my favorite episode recording this year was probably Rebecca, because I had such a turnaround from my initial viewing of that film several years ago to watching it this time. That was such a pleasure to discuss and such a pleasure to revisit, because my opinion changed so much on it, because I did not like it the first time. It was not my cup of tea, you know, so yeah. Chris, what do you think?
I'm going to add to the general kind of pylon of love and say that our commentary of Psycho was probably the most fun I've had recording. It was a real joy, and I think if you wanted us to do another one, then yeah, you know, send in suggestions. Maybe we start like a little Hitchmas and we do like an extra episode, or we do like a commentary, and I think that would be a lot of fun for people.
Aside from my computer malfunctions and my microphone cape turning off.
Aside from that, yeah. I mean, if it was a bit smoother, then yeah, let's do that. For me, and it's because it's a film that I've wanted to cover since we started, it is The Lady Vanishes. I love it so much. It's like I love The Man Who Knew So Much as well, but The Lady Vanishes, it was so much fun. We had Theron on, and she was fantastic and so smart, and I learned so much from her, as I do from you guys all the time. One thing that we did want to say kind of collectively as the good evening team is, as 2019, and in fact the 2010s, draw to a close.
Ooh.
Which is, I know, I was thinking like, okay, you only have like a week left of this decade when you're listening to this. You know, we've had some fantastic guests this year, so we really want to give a shout out to Alice Baker and David Cairns, John Champion, Farron Nehmer, Pat McFadden, Carl Sweeney, the Bill and Ted Watch Movies podcast, and Manish Mathur. So thank you very much for making this a very excellent 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very honored to have so many wonderful guests join our show, and then for Bill and Ted having Tom on to discuss Hitchcock, and then for Carl to have me on for Shadow of a Doubt, which we're going to be covering very shortly on this podcast as well, just a couple of episodes away.
Mm. We really are lucky to have such a great circle of friends that will work on our shows and let us work on theirs and hand things back and forth. And especially, we never want to forget our listeners and everybody that follows us online and listens to our shows. Now, gentlemen.
Before we get into that, Tom, I just wanted to say that the Good Evening bank account is empty now that the checks have cleared for all those guests.
Wait a minute. They get paid? Tommy gets paid first, buddy.
Tommy gets paid off the top. Everybody else gets paid off the bottom.
See, now, you may refer to what we just covered there as the aperitif, the hors d'oeuvres at Christmas dinner. And I think now we're going to carve it into the... Chris, would it be a goose or a turkey where you are? What would your traditional meal be?
Turkey over here. Turkey would be the, I guess, entree. Yeah.
So we're gonna dig into the main course of the meal. Tonight we are talking about Dial L for Latchkey. And it's a radio play, a one-act radio play, mm-hmm. a tribute to Hitchcock. Now, it's brought to us by Scott Fivelson, who is a playwright, screenwriter, and author who has written for the Chicago Tribune, LA Times, and Playboy. He has a film called American Real, which is a comedy drama about the music business starring David Carradine, Michael Maloney, and Mariel Hemingway. Mm-hmm. Now, Scott's one-act comedy mystery, Dial L for Latchkey, is a satire of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. It's been performed in cities including London, Toronto, San Francisco, Milwaukee, and even in Belfast. Now, the play has run at London's Upstairs at the Gatehouse and at San Francisco's The Phoenix Theatre and other stages around the world. Now, the play is actually published by the Hen House Press. It's available as an e-book from Blackstone Publishing and as an audiobook. Mm-hmm. Dial L for Latchkey, the radio play. And the radio play, the audio track that we're going to be talking about tonight is the one we've listened to. And it was recorded by the Time I Get to Tucson Players. And so if you look on Amazon, the Kindle edition, the audiobook, and the paperback are all available. Here's a quick summary here of the production from a website, the Hitchcock Report. Dial L for Latchkey features the four main characters, Raymond, who is the scheming husband who looks like Ray Milland. G is his wife, awaiting execution for a murder committed in self-defense. Bob is a cocky American and G's boyfriend. And the inspector, investigating the crime before it's too late, that's Inspector Latchkey. Now, in Dial M for Murder, the inspector was played by John Williams, and Fivelson captures Williams' tongue-in-cheek performance as a seemingly bumbling but actually razor-sharp detective. Brandon, go ahead. You're the editor in charge. Give us an audio clip from this radio play.
Rolling.
Can't say she is much of a housekeeper.
Relieved and not disagreeing, Raymond quietly lowers his racket. The inspector produces his cigarette case, takes out a smoke. Suddenly, turns to face Raymond, like he's known he's been there all the time.
Care to join me?
Don't mind if I do.
Let's not actually smoke. To us, it's 1954. Who knows where our listeners think they are?
The inspector's clearly said one more thing he and Raymond can agree on. Raymond takes a puff of the unlit cigarette. Their tennis match begins.
Good to see you, Inspector.
Is it?
Not really.
Didn't think so. Going somewhere?
I've been called away unexpectedly by a long, luxurious holiday and a rather large pitcher of martinis in mourning for my wife. You remember my wife. You tried her for murder. Poor dear. Dies tomorrow. How shall they do it?
Your wife will be drawn and quartered.
Why, Inspector, isn't that a bit barbaric? Can you send me pictures?
I'll see what I can do.
Head on a pike.
Old habits die hard, sir.
Well, Inspector, if you don't mind, my ship sails tomorrow, and I still have a lot of gloating to do, so...
Shame about the wife.
Hmm? You mean G?
Yes, your wife G. That any woman could be such a cold-blooded murderess.
A woman who was always so full of it, so full of, how shall I say it, grace.
Can't say as I noticed, sir, but I'll take your word for it. I will say this. If the verdict found in the case against G came from anything less than the infallible British judicial system, one glance at your steamer trunk and the raving Freudian slip of these prison decals, and one could easily conclude that you, Raymond, are the culprit in this mystery. But I'm sure this trunk belongs to her, And so this is literally her confession, not yours.
Pardon me, Inspector. Phone's just been ringing off the hook. Social calendar in an uproar. Congratulations from other rogues and knaves. Cards and letters. Never been so popular. Hello? It's the police.
Yes. Yes, I see. It's for you.
Hello? I see. I'll hop a cab and be right down.
Hmm?
My car was stolen and found at the bottom of a lake, not far from the Bates Motel. Odd.
So, there was a quick audio clip for everybody that hasn't heard this yet, and the three of us have had a chance to listen to the audio version. It's about a 30-minute production, and I think I had a lot of fun listening to this. I actually listened to it on the highway a few times, which is nice because it's you get to just turn up the volume and really hear everything really well. I thought it was a really fun take on Hitchcock. It's probably best enjoyed as an audiobook. I probably would enjoy the audio track more than reading the book, and it allows you to read to listen to the voice work of the actors. But I think it would be even more fun to see it on stage. It feels like it would be a great piece for dinner theater.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining because it's probably about half an hour on stage that it would be paired with another short production. Mm-hmm. There's references, right, throughout the film. He's very clever throughout the audio production. He's very clever at bringing in references to the films, the titles of the films, and the little phrases like, we all go a little mad sometimes.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun listening to this. Guys, your opinions on the radio play?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, very well done. I thought it was... It was a lot of fun to listen to. Like, you did it driving, I did it while I was cooking, and I just thought it was just such a fun love letter to Hitchcock, and I thought it was, it was silly. It was very much in like the goofy sense of humor. I would have really enjoyed seeing this on stage, and it is funny how they how it was almost constructed like, oh, okay, we're gonna thread a lot of different Hitchcock references in here throughout. Like, oh, I've never stayed at the Bates Motel, and like, oh, look out of your rear window, that kind of thing. And I just was like, oh, okay, that's fun. But I really enjoyed the production. I love the music. Like, some of the score was beautiful, and I really enjoyed that. And I think you can tell that the actors were having a lot of fun, and that really shone through as well. So, yeah, it was, it was very enjoyable. And for Hitchcock nerds like us, I think it definitely rewarded long-time Hitchcock fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the best thing I can say about this is clearly written by somebody that loves Hitchcock, right? And they wanted to create a piece of entertainment that helps to showcase their love of this filmmaker. There's so many references to Hitchcock movies in this, and it's done lovingly, it's done with care. The audio production was really well done, right? This wasn't some cheesy radio play that we heard. And yeah, like you guys have said, I'd like to see it as an actual play. I think it would be really neat to see it. And, obviously it takes off from Dial M for Murder as basically a starting point. It's a comedic version of that. But there's so many references to Hitchcock in this that fans of all of his movies will be able to get something out of this for sure.
Chris, you and I did an episode this year about The Blind Man, the BBC radio play.
Yeah.
That was one of the days we gave Brandon a day off, and he was off traveling Canada with his family, enjoying his summer vacation. So this is a traditional radio play. Like, this is what used to be the primo entertainment, like before television was popular, before films became accessible. So I like that homage, that touchback to the days of live radio drama. And that's a very appropriate way to pay tribute, a very appropriate format in which to pay tribute to Hitchcock, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, for personal reference, I've been listening to a lot of the Lux Radio productions. I've been listening to a lot of the PRX, the suspense, you know, those half hour, we're going to, a completely original story, we're going to throw it in for half an hour, that sort of thing. But they also did the comedy stuff, and so I thought it was a really cool way of, yeah, harkening back to when, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, radio was the main source of entertainment, and you used to get these half hour long, hour long productions that, you know, they did cover films and they did pay tribute and that sort of thing, but then they also were entirely constructed, and so it was a different way and quite an interesting way of how to tell a story. You don't have visuals, you literally just have, you know, the dialogue and everything. But yeah, it was just, you know, like Brandon said, like you said, you know, it is so clearly such a big love letter to Hitchcock, and it is obviously written by someone who enjoys it, and it's so kind of suffused with the love and, you know, care that they have for the Hitchcock canon, that, you know, it takes a true fan to see the flaws and to mock them a little bit and tease them a little bit and, you know, kind of go with Dialing for Murder and like, poke a bit of fun and joke and all that sort of thing. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I did enjoy it as a vehicle for Hitchcock through the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's that wonderful, sorry, Brandon, that wonderful tradition of theater of the mind.
Yes.
It gives the listener the power to use their imagination, mm-hmm. and they create the visuals in their own head.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things on the Criterion Blu-rays and stuff that I have is they've always got included all these different radio adaptations of the films, you know? Oh. And in my trivia for the show, I keep mentioning that, yeah, this person was also in this version of the radio play and stuff like this. Like, I love them. Lux presents, yes, Hollywood! You know, like, I don't know. I love the radio plays.
Yeah.
My favorite part, honestly, is listening to them talk about the Lux soap, and they're like,
yes,
I'm going to go to clean my clothes. Oh. Right? But still, it is an aspect of Hitchcock, because Hitchcock did appear in some of them. He wrote and directed mm-hmm. some of them as well, right? And it was a very valid medium for the time, and it was a way that a lot of people, you know, because they didn't play movies all the time. So they would do a radio adaptation of a film. Right? And so that's how people got another dose of that movie. You know, like, I just went through my Wizard of Oz box set, and there was a Lux Radio hour-long version of the Wizard of Oz in there, you know? So I love it. I think it's a great way to honor Hitchcock, and especially as the radio play format, but I really truly would have loved to have seen it as a play, because, again, a lot of the best Hitchcock films are based upon plays.
Yes.
So we do thank Scott Fivelson for bringing this to our show and letting us do a commentary on his production of Dial L for Latchkey, the radio play. As I said, if you look on Amazon.com, you'll find versions of it available. And best of luck to Scott, because I think he's still working on stage performances of the production mm-hmm. around different countries. He's still working on promoting it, so good for him. Thank you, Scott, for bringing this to our attention. And I really enjoyed that.
It was actually kind of funny, because I had just rewatched Dial M for Murder, and like a day or two later, you're like, go pick up this thing from my mailbox and listen to it. And I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Do you want to know the truly odd thing? Is that the same thing happened to me. I was watching it on a long weekend, and then like 4 days later, you guys were like, hey, there's this thing called Dial L for Latchkey. And I just looked over at my DVD and I was like, what have you done? But no, it was fun. It was fun to listen to.
I'm gonna give this a rating of 3.5. How did you get a key for my apartment? Mm-hmm. Brandon, do you have a numerical for us?
Yeah, I'd probably give it about the same. I'd probably say about a 3 or 3.5. I didn't think of something funny. 3 or 3.5. Wonderful radio adaptations.
Aw.
Christopher?
I will follow suit and give it 3.5 out of 5. Latchkey? Yes, it's Russian.
that Russian character was very funny. Yeah. Brandon, have you got some of our traditional, because this is the time of year for Christmas and traditions, we always like to end our show with our thank yous to all our people that support us throughout the year.
Thank you to the Fandom Podcast Network for hosting us in your feeds. Even though we also have our own independent feed. Thank you to Annie and Catherine over on Good Evening and Alfred Hitchcock Presents Podcast.
Sorry, can I say my favorite thing? As he's singing, the way the camera's going, it looks like you've taken a top hat off and it's floating. So I'm there just like, yes, my God, my it's like, hello.
I'm pretty sure we've each got a half-empty bottle of rum on our desks right now.
Yes. If you guys are okay, I'm going to keep singing now, okay?
That's fine. Okay.
Merry Christmas to Jason Cullimore, who created our wonderful theme. Merry Christmas to Tom. Merry Christmas to Chris. Merry Christmas to the listeners. And a happy new
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, and a happy new year.